Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So I'm in my car, minding my own business, listening to Boston radio, and I don't know how they got into this discussion, but they were talking about Mac Jones and Bill Belichick, and they were discussing all these coach and quarterback duos. And, you know, is this coach and quarterback duo better than Mac Jones and Bill Belichick? Now, let me state this for the record. I think Mac Jones did a really good job as a rookie. I didn't think he did a great job as a rookie. I didn't think it was, you know, what Vince Young did here his rookie year, where Vince Young literally turned the team upside down.
He made the playoffs.
But I thought he did a good job. I thought he did what was asked of him, which is exactly what Belichick wants out of a young quarterback. And I also don't think Belichick gets the credit that he deserves for having gotten to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback and having to play maybe the best quarterback in the league in Josh Allen in his own division. And I think Bill, I mean, they peaked in the middle of the year and they probably weren't really that good. But I think Bill did an okay job. So let me leave it at that. So they keep going over these teams and quarterbacks and coaches. And, you know, what about Justin Herbert and Brandon Staley? And I'm sitting there in my car the whole time just waiting. And a lot of these guys are obvious, like Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll. Like, yes, Mac Jones and Bill Belichick.
That's at the bottom.
But I just keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for them to get to Tannehill and Vrabel and see what the comparison is, to see what the people in Boston, and these guys are not homers, I think you all know that, but what the guys in Boston think of Ryan Tannehill. I want to know what other people think, because we know everybody thinks Vrabel's a good coach. So here's what they said. This was Felger and Maserati on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, talking about Mac Jones and Bill Belichick and how they compare to other quarterbacks.
Here's a tough one. Bill Belichick and Mac Jones, or Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill?
Ooh.
Thank you.
Oh. I hate Tannehill, though.
Yeah, me too.
Pats.
Put it this way,
yeah, Pats.
If Mike Vrabel had Mac Jones, I'd like them a hell of a lot better than I do now. So I got to go Pats there.
God, Tannehill was so bad in that playoff game.
Pats.
Okay. What do we think?
It's tough because it comes down to the quarterback.
Mac Jones and Bill Belichick, or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
I think I have to go Tannehill and Vrabel.
Ian.
Oh, this is tough. I think I'm going to lean slightly towards the Titans. Just because Mac Jones is a rookie.
I'm so torn.
It's tough.
It's hard.
And honestly, part of that's a good thing, right?
Oh, for sure. You're comparing Vrabel to who is known as the best coach in the NFL.
That if you flip the quarterbacks, I think it'd be Titans.
Easily.
If it was Vrabel and Mac Jones, it would be Titans. If you flip the coat, I mean, that's where I'm like, here's the thing. Mac Jones' team sucked so bad in that playoff game that it doesn't matter what he did. That game was over 5 minutes in. Mac Jones, you could have had Roddy Jones playing quarterback, and it wouldn't have mattered. Tannehill single-handedly cost his team the game. But I'm also, one, very nervous about anointing rookie quarterbacks. And Mac Jones is a limited rookie quarterback. Like, Mac Jones is there. Now, apparently he lost a bunch of weight and he's really skinnied up, which a lot of guys do between year one and year two. You know, they get used to the NFL. They figure out what they have to do. And then I think also they see the money.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the money, I think it makes it easier to be like, you know, like that Charles Barkley clip we played the other day where he was like, if Zion Williamson can just lose weight for an entire year, he'll get $200 million. And but I've had a hard time keeping my weight down over my life. I got to believe if I knew a $200 million payday was coming,
you'd be working a little bit harder.
I think I'd be skinny. Like, I am telling you.
But I think the crazy thing from that clip, and I think just from our general consensus, is everyone thinks Vrabel's a better coach than Belichick.
I mean, yes.
I mean, they said pair Mac Jones with Bill Belichick, or excuse me, with Mike Vrabel, and it would be Vrabel and Mac Jones easily. The only problem, the only thing deterring them from taking Vrabel was Tannehill.
Well, I think the biggest reason why they were picking, yes, is because, I mean, they said it. They think Tannehill sucks.
Yes.
I mean, they've been on this. They've
so
been
it's
on
about
this
the quarterback.
We have to give them credit, because a couple years ago, I was like sick. You know, I think I had the flu. I tested positive for the flu, so I had the flu. I had the flu. This was right at the beginning of COVID, where like you really couldn't get a COVID test. And I had the flu, and I was watching their show in Boston, just sitting there. I was off that day, and I mean, I was sick. And they were talking about, there was some poll in San Francisco where a majority of the people said they'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo than Tom Brady. Uh-huh. And they were like, how stupid are these people? Well, unbeknownst to them, we had run a poll a couple of weeks before in which, who would you rather have, Brady or Tannehill? And Tannehill got 64% of the vote. So I'm sitting there like in a chair watching this show on television, and I just, three clicks of the phone, and immediately I just hear, oh my God. It's like, what? My buddy in Nashville just ran a poll, and he said that, who would you rather have, Brady or Tannehill? And they're like, oh dear God, please don't tell us. Oh no. What? They were like, Tannehill got 64% of the vote.
They
and
all
these guys
were
in
just,
Boston. Oh God. They lost their, they were like, he's a backup. He's a backup. And in all fairness, what have I always said about myself in March of 2020 when it comes to Tannehill and the decision to stay with Tannehill?
It haunts you to this
day. I took the cheese. When they say that we ate that up, I took that cheese. I'm going to go with Tannehill and Vrabel over Mac Jones and Belichick. And here's why I'm going to go with Tannehill and Vrabel. Because Mac Jones is still so unproven. I know what Tannehill is. Tannehill is not what he was in that playoff game. Though I worry that that playoff game will break him. So I worry that, he hasn't hidden from the fact that the
that
playoff
it's gonna
game
stick
was
with him.
Up his keister.
And I think that's what we saw last year.
I'm afraid it's going to break him. And if it breaks him, we saw when Mariota was broken. Like, we saw, you know, just, man, you got to get that guy off the field before somebody gets hurt. And I feel that way about Tannehill. And I worry it's going to break him. But if it doesn't break him, like, I know what Tannehill is. Tannehill is a passer that you got to keep to about 20 passes a game. You have to expect 225 yards. And for whatever reason it was last year, because he wasn't even really like this in Miami, I believe, though I didn't watch. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't really turn the football over. He'll fumble it, which is a concern. But he doesn't really turn it over. With Mac Jones, I could see Mac Jones either becoming a true bona fide starter, because I like, you know, I like the size and the mechanics and all that. Like, he looks like a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And he's got the Alabama, you know, pedigree, so he knows how to win, and he won in college. And so I like that about Jones.
But also,
was the fifth quarterback taken in that draft. And at the end of the day, he could just be an average guy. He could just be an average quarterback who's in between a backup and a starter. And I don't think, as much as I can't stand Tannehill sometimes, I don't think Tannehill's in between a backup and a starter. I don't think, if he was, then I would say go get Baker Mayfield. If he was, then I would say, okay, go get some. Now, I've said go get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Tom Brady, but I haven't told you to go get an average quarterback to come in here. Mac Jones could be Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, he could be a guy. Now, they play very different, obviously, but he could be a guy that bounces around the league and is always good enough to find his way in a start game. He could be either. And that's why year two quarterbacks, I'm always like, this is the year that you really watch a guy and you decide. You know, the GM really instilled in me this idea that you cannot anoint a rookie quarterback. I was here when Vince Young won Rookie of the Year, and Vince Young obviously turned into crap. So, I mean, with Jones, it's almost like the volatility of what he can be. That makes me more concerned in picking Tannehill and Vrabel. But then the more I've talked through this, the more I think I'm leaning towards Jones and Belichick. I'm torn.
Well,
I think it could go either way with Mac Jones. Young quarterback. It could go either way. With Tannehill, it's either, he's one of the worst starters in the league, or who you have to completely baby. I mean, everything has to be right for Tannehill. Or the Cincinnati game's going to break him so bad that his career is going to be over after week six of this year. Well, I don't feel that way about Mac Jones. But I do think Vrabel's the best coach in the NFL, and I do think in the three games that he's coached against Belichick, he's outcoached him. So it's tough.
And we're talking so much about the quarterbacks, Mac Jones versus Tannehill. how much discussion can you really have about Bill Belichick versus Mike Vrabel? Because there's always going to be that argument there that Bill Belichick can't win another Super Bowl without Tom Brady.
So it was, I don't think that's a fair thing because, see, I don't, I mean, yes, but I don't agree with that because the decision to play Brady was a coaching decision and it was a decision he made and it was a decision that most coaches wouldn't have made. So, I mean, every time that someone discredits Belichick because of Brady's success, I think about who was the guy who decided to draft Tom Brady, who was the guy who did draft Tom Brady, who was the guy who developed Tom Brady,
who was the guy who
picked him over the $100 million quarterback. And people think that it was that simple that, like, oh, yeah, he just went with Brady over Belichick or over Bledsoe. Brady got hurt in the AFC Championship game. Bledsoe threw, I believe, 2 touchdown passes in Pittsburgh, and they won that game. And everybody thought that Bledsoe was back. And then they went back to Brady. Mm-hmm. I mean, that takes some. That is some gutsy.
That's tough.
That is gutsy coaching. Would Vrabel be able to do that? I would hope so, but I don't know. So I can't feel it one way or the other. So I don't discredit that. I would say this. This is where I believe Vrabel takes the cake over Belichick. They played 3 games. All 3 games, Vrabel's 2-1, but in all 3 games, I think Vrabel's outcoached Belichick. I think in the first game, Vrabel had a significantly worse team than Belichick. Smoked them. In the second game, I thought they had very even teams. You would argue New England probably better because of the quarterback, but New England certainly on the decline. And the game was in Foxborough. And Vrabel totally outcoached them. And last year, the Patriots, given the Titans injuries, had a better team. And that should have been a blowout. And even though the score was something like 36-14, it was a close game in the fourth quarter. And I thought the way that that game was played, like the style of which it was played, played into the hands of the Titans. It was the game Vrabel wanted to play, and it gave them a chance, and I thought that was great coaching. And so I think in the 3 games they played, Vrabel has outcoached Belichick. So I will say that I think Vrabel's better than Belichick. That being said, I think I'm going to go Jones and Belichick. I'm changing my opinion. Jones and Belichick, because I've talked through it, and I just think that Tannehill's going to crack under the pressure of what happened in that Bengals game. I think it's obvious. It's still weighing on him. So, again, here's the rule. Majority wins. 2 out of 3. Mac Jones or Belichick. Or Vrabel and Tannehill.
I still go Vrabel and Tannehill.
Ian.
I'm torn too, but I think I'm going to lean slightly Vrabel-Tannehill.
Okay, I'm going to go Mac Jones and Belichick simply because...
It is so close, though.
That one is tough. So let's get your thoughts. 615-737-1025. And then I want to do what they did. I want to go through some of these quarterbacks and their coaches. And we all got to be honest here. No local homerism. We got to be honest. Where do they fit? 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Stillman and Company on ESPN 1025 The Game.
If you had asked me 2 years ago, I would have said Belichick's the best coach in the league, and there's a Grand Canyon until you get to number 2. The gap between him and number 2, whoever that was at the time, Harbaugh, Reed,
Pete
Carroll, whoever I put at number 2, I'd say number 2 is not close to Belichick at number 1. That was 2 years ago. 1 year ago, I said, okay, Bill's still number 1, but the McVays of the world, that whole tree is gaining on him. McVay, Shanahan, LaFleur, those guys, they're gaining. The gap is narrowing. And Vrabel's there too. And so Bill's still number 1, but now he's got competition. Now, 2 guys have passed him, and I feel like the arrow's going down.
There you go. So Boston Radio, they're down on Belichick, which is fine because we're down on Tannehill. So again, Mac Jones and Bill Belichick versus Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel, and they go with Mac Jones and Belichick. Apparently we go, even though I went with Mac Jones and Belichick. They go with the Patriot guys, and our show goes apparently with the Titans guys. But what I think is interesting are the other teams around the league and their quarterbacks. And I say we just go ahead and do this ourselves. So majority rules, and I have the right to make it a dictatorship, but democracy is more fun.
It's a cheerocracy.
Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh.
Okay.
Or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel.
Ooh. See, Harbaugh just makes too many stupid decisions. But I lean Harbaugh and Lamar.
Ian?
I don't know. For some reason, I'm kind of leaning Baltimore, too.
I mean, to me, it's easy. Lamar's the league MVP.
Yeah.
But also Harbaugh.
I think Harbaugh's
the quarterback,
pretty
good. Coach. Like, doesn't quarterback kind of count more
he's
here?
He's so Johnny go for it.
Doesn't quarterback weight more here? Like, aren't you weighted more towards quarterback? Lamar is a league MVP.
But also, what is the one thing that makes you feel secure about this Titans team?
The coach.
The coach. Regardless of if the quarterback sucks, you feel good about Vrabel. So, yeah. No, I go Lamar and Harbaugh.
Okay. Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
This shouldn't be as easy as it is, but Vrabel and Tannehill.
I agree.
Ian? Yeah, I do too. and really, honestly, I can't stand Kyler. I think Kyler is so overrated. And I think Arizona knows it. I think Arizona looks at themselves in a similar spot as the Browns are with Baker. And it's like they really just want him to play it out. They really want Kyler to play it out. And Kyler really wants like $45 million a year. And that's where the beef is. And that's what's not getting resolved. But I will take Tannehill and Vrabel over Kyler and Cliff Kingsbury. Buffalo, I think it's pretty
easy,
obvious.
Buffalo.
Carolina, Sam Darnold, Matt Rhule. I think that's pretty obvious.
I'm going to go with Vrabel and Tannehill.
Okay. Justin Fields and what's the dodo? Matt Eberflus?
Oh, Fields is Chicago. Sorry.
Yeah. Fields and Eberflus or Vrabel and Tannehill?
Probably Vrabel and Tannehill for the same reasons we were turned away from Mac Jones.
Easy. Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel.
Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor.
Ian?
Well, I guess the gap between Burrow and Tannehill is bigger than the gap between the coaches, so I'll go Cincy.
See, it's hard when you go back to that playoff game. That gap is so small between the two teams.
It is, but what was the difference?
It was the one quarterback who stuck it up. But here's the thing that's crazy. They've played twice. They played each other twice. Mm-hmm. Zach Taylor's 2-0 against Vrabel. And that included a team that stunk. So, for that, you have to go with the Bengals.
But also, too, and for the other reason why you have to go with the Bengals is because, yes, Zach Taylor is 2-0 against Vrabel, but why is Zach Taylor 2-0 against Vrabel in that second game? Or why did he beat Vrabel in that
Tannehill
second game?
Tannehill was lousy in the first
because
game.
Because of Tannehill.
Tannehill threw an interception.
I think it's less about Zach Taylor and Vrabel and way more about Joe Burrow and Ryan Tannehill.
The Titans were driving in that first game, and this was a Cincinnati team that was freaking awful.
Yeah.
And the Titans were driving in that game early in the first drive. Tannehill threw an interception in the end zone. And it was one of those, like, Tannehill didn't have a lot of these before this past year, mm-hmm. but it was one of those, what the hell were you thinking?
Where are you going?
It was one of those interceptions. Who's going? Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
Tannehill and Vrabel.
That was very quick on that trigger.
I don't want to deal with the Deshaun Watson circus.
Ian?
I'd like to see Watson back playing again before he can make a full decision. He's been out a little bit too long for me.
Well, you have to make the decision because I'm picking Cleveland.
I do like Watson as far as a player. He's pretty good.
Ooh. Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
Ooh, this is a good one because we have no idea how good Nathaniel Hackett can be.
We don't know anything about him.
I think I go Denver.
Ian?
I think I'm going to lean Titans just for the unproven factor.
I'm going to lean Titans for this reason. I don't think Russell Wilson is as good as everyone's making him out to be.
Okay, but also, is he better than Tannehill?
Yes, but again, their coach has never coached.
It's true.
So we had I think Vrabel's the best coach in the league. So you got the best coach in the league and a guy who's never coached a game.
And a guy who didn't even call plays where
Wilson
he was an offensive coordinator.
Tannehill. And not that it matters, but Tannehill did play okay. Tannehill beat Russell Wilson last year.
Yeah, he did.
So I'm going to go Titans. Titans. So we're going Watson and Stefanski over Vrabel and Tannehill. But we're going Vrabel and Tannehill over Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett.
Yes.
In fairness to Stefanski, he did win
Coach of the Year
the year before Vrabel. Jared Goff and Coach Doofus, I would go
Titans.
Although, Goff or Tannehill, I'd go Goff. But I'm going Titans.
Titans.
Green Bay, we'll go with
Green Bay.
Green Bay. Davis Mills and Lovie Smith, or Tannehill and Vrabel?
Titans.
Here's another good one. Matt Ryan and Frank Reich, or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
Tannehill and Vrabel. It all comes down to Reich versus Vrabel, and I take Vrabel all day long.
Yeah, I'll do that too for the same reason.
Yeah.
Ian, if you want to interject and say like your piece on one of these. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson, Ryan Tannehill, Mike Vrabel.
Tannehill and Vrabel.
Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl.
Yeah. But also Trevor Lawrence, it's the same unproven factor that we were so concerned about with Mac Jones.
There's a really good chance next year that they could be really good. Easy to pick the other one.
They could be really good.
I'm going to go with Tannehill and Vrabel on this one. Kansas City, we'll go Kansas City.
Yeah.
Ooh, Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel.
I lean Carr and McDaniels.
Titans. Ian?
Why?
I don't know, man. I don't know about McDaniel. Obviously he's a good OC. Seems to be a pretty good play caller. We'll see how he handles, like, you know, a full team. I think I'm going to lean slightly Titans.
I think I would lean slightly Carr over Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
But
you have to take Vrabel over.
Vrabel might be the best coach in the league. And Josh McDaniels, while I do think he might be a changed man, he sucked in Denver.
Yeah.
And I know it was a decade ago, but he was awful. Awful in Denver. Justin Herbert and the dweeb Brandon Staley with his calculator or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
This is so hard because he's Dweeby McDweeberton. So I go Titans, but I love Justin Herbert, but he's such a dweeb.
Ian?
I mean, Herbert, I kind of agree with Caroline. I think I'm going to lean Titans just because of the Staley-Vrabel factor.
I'm kind of shocked. I weighed more for a quarterback, and I'm going Herbert. I mean, I think Herbert is that much better
Herbert
than
Tannehill. Herbert and Staley?
Herbert
yes.
is,
you hate Staley.
I do
Herbert
hate
is
Staley.
On the way up. He's looking
Herbert's
kind of studly.
A bad dude,
he's so good. I love
Herbert's
I love
a
Herbert.
Bad freaking dude. And Tannehill, you know, again, we're talking about the fact that, like, Mac Jones or Tannehill, what do we think? And it's like Herbert is like a god. You know,
okay.
The way he looks, the
Easy.
Way he throws the ball, the way he... And they're like him and Burrow, I'm just like, oh, I just
they're both
freaking
dudes.
Love them. Oh, Stafford and McVay, Tannehill and Vrabel.
Stafford and McVay.
I think we agree with that one. I'm going to skip the ones that are obvious. Kirk Cousins and Kevin O'Connell or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
I think I go Tannehill and Vrabel.
Okay.
Vrabel's really carrying a lot of the weight on here.
Vrabel is. Yeah, I would too. O'Connell's never coached a game. Cousins and Tannehill to me is a wash. Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni or Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill?
Vrabel and Tannehill. I don't believe in Jalen Hurts.
Do you believe in Tannehill?
No. No, I do not, but I believe in Vrabel.
I'll go Titans, too. Although I don't feel great about that. Ooh, this is a good one. Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
I think I go Garoppolo and Shanahan.
Why?
Because with the quarterbacks, like, no, Jimmy G's not a great quarterback, but neither is Ryan Tannehill. And when it comes down to the coaches, like, Vrabel is one of the best coaches in the league, but also Shanahan is one of the best coaches in the league. I think if you gave me on a platter Garoppolo or Tannehill, I would probably take Jimmy G. Jimmy G.
I think this is so close.
It's a close one.
If they hadn't played last year, it probably wouldn't be so recency biased, but I think I'll lean slightly Titans because of that.
Here's my problem with last year's game. Titans won by 3 points, and A.J. Brown was the best player on the field. Like, if Tannehill didn't have A.J. Brown, he'd have lost. Jimmy freaking stunk in that game, and stunk last year, but so did Tannehill. And Vrabel is a really good coach, and so is Shanahan.
So is Shanahan.
But Shanahan has this weird penchant for blowing games at the end that Vrabel doesn't have.
But also, I mean,
Green Bay and beat the Packers, and he got to a Super Bowl.
And
I
to
mean,
Ian's point, like, yes, the Titans did beat the 49ers last year, but the 49ers got to the NFC Championship.
Here's the question. If the Titans had Trey Lance behind Tannehill, would Trey Lance be the starting quarterback this year?
Probably
After the Cincinnati game.
Probably so.
And I don't know the answer.
If I was Mike Vrabel, I would make Trey Lance the starter.
How do you do that when you've never seen Trey Lance play?
Because when you're so out on someone, the alternative is better.
Oh, God. And I meant
Were
that.
You?
No, I mean, I like, I meant that, like, is it like a legitimate question of how you could do that?
I don't think I need to know if I've never seen Trey Lance play. I don't need to know.
I don't think you win the Super Bowl with Tannehill. I don't think you win the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. I don't think you win the Super Bowl with either guy. So if there's a chance you can win the Super Bowl with the other guy, then maybe give him a chance.
Yeah, interesting question could be Trey Lance and Shanahan or Vrabel and Tannehill.
All right, last one. Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel or Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
Tannehill and Vrabel.
I will too, because I don't, you know, Tyreek Hill's out here at OTAs pumping. By the way, he's at OTAs. He's out here pumping Tua's arm, so, but I don't buy it, so I'll go Tannehill there. All right, well, that was a fun exercise. To your wonderful phone calls, 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in on this, so we'll do that next. Stillman & Company, right here at ESPN 1025 The Game.
Brian, how much is it?
The playoff loss still linger with you and bother you, and do you, I guess, listen to any of the things that are said, you know, in terms of people wanting to put the blame on you for that loss?
It's a scar. It's a deep scar. You know, it was a lot of sleepless nights. Every time I closed my eyes, I was rewatching the game in my head. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep for weeks and weeks after the game. Was in a dark place, and it took me a while and a lot of work to get out of it. You know, it wasn't something that went away easily. Man, it's still a scar that I'll carry with me, you know, throughout the rest of my life. You know, but just like a cut on your arm, you know, starts off as a wound, you're able to heal from it. And it turns into a scar. It never leaves you, but it's always there, and it can remind you. And now it's fuel for me. It's fuel for me to work and get ready with a passion and come into the season with a fire and you know, a desire to win like I've never had before.
You know the old saying, tough times don't last.
Uh-huh.
Tough people do.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. I mean, like, you know, like, it was a tough time for Tannehill with that Bengals game, and I think a lot of people are knocking him for that. If he's a tough person, tough people do. If not, the tough times get the best of the weak people. So we'll see where Tannehill goes off of this. But I am worried that the Cincinnati game will have broken him. That when all is said and done, he'll come out this season, and he'll be playing tight and tense and the pressure, and then he will crack.
But also, I look at how Tannehill has played in the past when it's put up or shut up time. When something's on the line.
Yeah, but it's different. Like that, I go back to that 2020 season, and it was like, you know, no one expected him to do anything. He was a backup.
Mm-hmm.
No one expected him to, like, take that starting job and take that team to the playoffs. And this, you know, when there's expectations on you,
it's a lot more pressure than when you have nothing to lose.
I promised phones, and phones we go. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Greg has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Greg.
I don't know why you guys are even making this comparison, because Tannehill is one of the biggest busts in NFL history from the first-round draft pick.
No, he's not.
Oh, are you kidding me? He is choked in that game, Jared. They had everything. Number one seed. He blew it for them.
Greg,
nobody throws. Not
Greg, have you ever heard of Achilles Smith?
Bubba, that's not the same.
Talking about a bust, that is absolutely the same thing. The Titans have not had a quarter. The Titans have had two first-round busts that are bigger than Ryan Tannehill. Three, if you count Blaine Gabbert, who they didn't draft but was on their team, that are bigger busts than Ryan Tannehill. He's been a starting quarterback for a decade, Greg.
That's your trap, young man. Listen,
no, sir. Greg, appreciate your call, but you're not. No. We're not coming on the show and talking to me like that. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Matt Leinart, Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Tannehill has been a starting quarterback in the NFL for a decade. He was drafted in 2012. It's 2022 now. It's 10 years of starting with like a 6-game break. That's it. That is not a bust. It's not Russell Wilson, who was in the same draft class, but it's better than RG3. And so what a ridiculous if you want a dog on Tannehill, we're the show to
this
do it.
This is a safe space for that.
Like, we're the show to
if
do it.
If you want to say he threw that playoff game away, by all means, go for
it. But you can't say something as ridiculous as that. I mean, that's ridiculous. Think about the Titans. Since they moved to Tennessee, they've drafted three quarterbacks in the first round. They drafted Vince Young. They drafted Marcus. They drafted Jake Locker. All three of those guys were bigger, quote-unquote, busts. And I don't even like calling Vince Young a bust. because Vince Young made the Pro Bowl twice and was Rookie of the Year in his rookie contract, and he didn't get signed for a second contract. But I guess when you draft a guy like that, you expect them to ultimately get a second contract, and Young didn't. So the Titans have drafted three quarterbacks in the top 10 over a 10-year period, and not one of them earned a second contract. Tannehill earned a second contract in Miami, and he got a second contract here. Again, I don't mind bashing Tannehill, but I also, you know, we got to keep it real. What do we have in the text line?
Gator Tim texts in and says Kyle Shanahan is 6 games under 500, and he's 18 games under 500 without Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, so I don't think we can dog Kyle Shanahan for when he lost with Brian Hoyer as his quarterback, and I don't think we can dog him for losing the year in which not only did Jimmy G get hurt, but Nick Bosa got hurt, and like they had just a slew of unbelievable injuries. I think Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. And I hate this, that when you discuss Shanahan, it's hard, and you got to take the entirety of it. He got to a Super Bowl. Then after they you know, the 2020 season, people forget 2020 in San Francisco was a different experience than in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
They got kicked out of their own stadium and had to go play in Arizona at the end of the year. Not that it mattered because they weren't very good and they had all those injuries. But, I mean, that's just the things that they had to deal with. And then he gets back to the NFC title game. But I think it's impossible to discuss Kyle Shanahan in totality without referencing the fact that kind of blew the Super Bowl in Atlanta, definitely blew the Super Bowl in San Francisco, although Jimmy had a wide-open Emmanuel Sanders and he missed him. And he blew the NFC Championship game last year. Whether it was Jimmy's fault, or whether it was his fault, or whether it was Dan Quinn's fault in Atlanta, like, it still exists. That being said, I think Kyle Shanahan's a pretty good coach. Like, if I was to name the top five coaches in the NFL right now, like, guys that I tell you right now, like, I think he's a great coach. Vrabel, Andy Reid, Belichick, McVay, Shanahan, McDermott, and that's probably about it.
Harbaugh?
No.
Okay.
No. 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 No.
Would you have put Arians in that list?
No.
Okay. I am asking a question.
No. 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 I mean, that seems like the six best coaches, right?
Yeah.
Like, Andy, I'm not putting LaFleur in there.
Andy Reid, McVay, Shanahan, Vrabel, McDermott,
Belichick. Like, I'm not putting Mike McCarthy in there. I'm not putting Kevin Stefanski in there. I'm not putting Zach Taylor in there. I'm not putting Matt Rhule in there. I'm not putting, the guys that Mike McDaniel or Josh McDaniels. I'm not putting them in there. I'm not putting Kevin O'Connell in there. I mean, yeah. Oh, Tomlin. Tomlin. Got to put Tomlin in there.
I don't think he'd be top five, but top 10 for sure.
I mean, he's never had a losing season.
It's pretty impressive. But also, how many Super Bowls has he won?
He's won one Super Bowl and he played for another. But that's better than McDermott. That's better than Vrabel. That's better than
But he's been around longer than Vrabel.
Yeah, but I mean,
so if you play, he's been coaching for like 10, 15 years.
Jeff Fisher was in there for forever. He never won a Super Bowl. I would say he never got close, but he got incredibly
close. Very close
to tying a Super Bowl. So, I don't know. What else we got?
Another texter texts in and says, I would take Vrabel and Tannehill because as bad as Tannehill can be, the team still has a chance. If Mac Jones had a bad game, the Patriots have no chance at all.
I don't think that's true. They played a game in that windstorm, and
Mac Jones threw for 12 yards?
I don't think he threw the ball, and they won the game against the Buffalo Bills. I didn't watch enough Mac Jones to be able to sit there and report to you what I know about him. Like, I can tell you how, even though you could make an excuse that the Pittsburgh loss wasn't Tannehill's fault, it was. But even though you can make an excuse that the Pittsburgh game wasn't his fault, it's like, I know when Tannehill's pooping his pants and how bad that hurts the Titans. With Mac Jones, I don't know, like, his interceptions, I don't know if they were his fault. I don't know if, you know, he cracked under pressure last year. I don't know. I know he played the Titans. The Titans had no healthy defensive linemen except for Simmons and I think Landry, and they had no healthy receivers, and Mac Jones stood back in the pocket, patted the football, and threw for 300 yards. But I don't know, like in some of these other games they lost, You know, one of the things that's crazy is Mac Jones went out to Los Angeles and beat Justin Herbert. I don't know how he did it because I didn't watch the game, but he did. So,
but the thing, a lot of people say, like, there's another text that says Mac Jones sucks. They win games because he hands the ball off. That's what they're asking him to do.
And the Titans win games with Ryan Tannehill. How?
The exact same way.
Throwing for 345 yards?
No.
No! No, they do
not. That's what
they
ask him to do.
One more. What do we have?
Another texter texts in and says, I think, hot take, I think I would take Vrabel and Tannehill over Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson.
That's tough. Harbaugh's won a Super Bowl, but I don't think Harbaugh's a great coach. But Lamar's been league MVP. Every year that Lamar has been healthy, he's made the playoffs. And last year, I don't know if this is for sure or not. Maybe I'll look it up. I want to say that last year, they were 8-3 when he got hurt. Talking about Jackson.
And I also look at it like, take Lamar away from the Ravens. The Ravens don't really have a chance to compete.
Yeah, I mean, again,
you
I thought they...
take Tannehill away from the Titans, they could be just fine.
Well, nobody knows if the Logan Woodside's any good. I mean, the Hundley kid didn't look horrible. I didn't watch a ton of Ravens games last year. At least I'm honest with people instead of being like, well, you know, Hundley didn't look that bad. I mean, I barely watched when, you know, whatever. But I didn't think he was that bad. Yeah, okay. So they were 8-3. Then they went to Pittsburgh. Let's see who quarterbacked that game for the Ravens. That game was quarterbacked by Lamar. So Lamar did play that game, and they lost to the Steelers by 1 point. And so they're 8-4. 8-4, nothing to scoff at. Let's go to the next game. They lost to Cleveland by 2. Let's see who quarterbacked that game. Tyler Huntley quarterbacked that game. Lamar threw 4 passes. So they were 8-4, and Lamar got hurt. Lamar's pretty good. They were on path to make the playoffs when Lamar got hurt.
They would have made the
playoffs. I don't think you can make an argument that Tannehill is better than Lamar Jackson. In the one playoff game that Tannehill beat Lamar Jackson, Tannehill actually played okay in the game they beat him in overtime a couple years ago. But in the playoff game in which they beat him, Tannehill did nothing. And in the playoff game in which Lamar beat Tannehill, Lamar did everything. So,
and it's tough because I'd take Lamar over Tannehill, but I'd take Vrabel over Harbaugh.
But you got to wait towards the quarterback.
I know.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I got 2 college baseball takes, and they're not in-depth or nerdy college baseball, whatever, but I think 2 things, and it is honestly pointed towards our morning show. I'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, Fireball Cinema Whiskey. I love Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Why do you love Fireball so much, Jared? Because it goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There is no better way to celebrate a Fireball Hot Take Friday than to enjoy it with a weekend full of ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to ignite the night than to do it with Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Once again, that's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Be 21 years or older to enjoy, and please enjoy responsibly. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
Well, they're truly investing in sports. I mean, it's $300 million that are being invested. They are actually doing these things. I absolutely think Shea Ralph, and look at her recruiting. Do we care about recruiting or not? Does recruiting matter? It's an own entire season in college football.
Recruiting and Brad's prospects. Do them on your own time.
Okay. Oh, okay, well, if you don't want to be informed, don't be informed. But if you do want to be informed, recruiting is going incredibly well for that program, and I absolutely would buy that stock right now. Stackhouse and men's basketball, he's made some progress, has to make more. We'll see. I mean, baseball is baseball.
Joe Retro yesterday, Vandy on the rise. Jerry Stackhouse has been the coach for 3 years. They haven't won anything. And he's like, I mean, they're definitely making progress. I mean, come on. So, Joe's favorite team, and I'm not here to call Joe a homer, but that's exactly what I'm about to do.
Vandy Joe?
Vandy Joe, who bleeds black and gold. His favorite baseball team, that he said right there, baseball's baseball. I'm like, Vandy baseball? I mean, what Vandy baseball is right now would be like Duke basketball being a 7 seed. That's not Duke basketball. So, Vandy baseball is in Corvallis, and they're playing San Diego. And the Toros are up 3-0 The Toreros.
Yes.
The hell is a Torero?
Don't ask me.
The Toreros are up 3-0 in the 7th. So Joe Rexroad, who has been high on Vandy, high on, you know, everything. Go Commodores. Do you think Joe would be tweeting about, man, Vanderbilt's really got to get it together. Vanderbilt's really got to. Here are, Joe did have one anti-Vandy tweet, kind of. Vanderbilt's defense, again, brutal early, which, again, is not on the rise. We're used to disciplined, solid baseball play from Vanderbilt. Joe says, tough luck for Carter Holton there, and it's 2-0 San Diego. It's bad luck. It's bad luck.
It's not great.
Now, how about this from Joe? 3 minutes ago. And again, I haven't watched
this. Ooh, I haven't seen this one yet.
I haven't watched a second of this baseball game. Vanderbilt is lifeless at the plate. Don't see that changing until Mattis, who I guess is the pitcher for the Toreros, until Mattis is off the mound, and don't see that happening based off his pitch count. That's it. The other team's pitcher is just too good.
Well, that's also a legitimate argument.
I don't know. Is the guy any good?
What do I know about the Torero baseball team?
I don't know.
But, I mean, they're what, a 3 seed? That's not bad.
No, but, like, you can't sit there. Here's my
You can sit there and say the other team's pitcher is just that good, and that's why we can't get our bats moving. That is a real argument in baseball.
Vanderbilt has given up 3 runs on 5 hits, and the Toreros have committed no errors. Vanderbilt, no runs on 3 hits, and they've committed 2 errors.
Okay, well, that's defense.
So, I'm just telling you. Joe's a Vanderbilt apologist. Like, there's no way around it. And I think it's because, and I don't think that Joe pins an article to be pro-Vanderbilt. I don't think he's like, you know, one of these political
commentators. Let's see what I can do for the black and gold
today.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that. I just think because everybody over there calls him back, that he gives every single person over there the benefit of the doubt. The athletic director calls him back. The coach calls him back. The football coach lets him inside on the recruiting, you know, day. The basketball coach, I guess he doesn't call him back anymore. And there's a really funny backstory behind that. That in large part is because of, well, it's not because of me, but it is. But it's really funny. But I'm sure Shea Ralph calls him back. He just blindly is optimistic about all these people because they call him back. And I've been there, you know, there's a lot of guys. I'm like, you know, I like that guy. I liked Matt Patricia. Because he was cool with us when we interviewed him at the Combine because he was friends with Floyd. So then when all these things were coming up about how Matt Patricia was such a jackwagon, I was like, man, I like Matt Patricia. I could see myself being friends with Matt Patricia. And that, I get it. But again, Vanderbilt's on the rise. And now they're losing in baseball. Now, Tennessee. Breaking news, their catcher, Evan Russell, is out for today's game, and the coach is apparently going to talk about it after the game. I don't care about that, but I am going to tell you this. Tennessee baseball, and this is an unfortunate element of being a really good team, but when the Chicago Bulls in 1997 went like 72-10 or whatever, they had a saying after the season was over. It was the all-time wins record, which the Warriors later broke. And they had a saying after that, which was, doesn't mean a thing without
a ring.
And we look back at that Warriors team that set a record for wins, and we never talk about that because they lost in Game 7 of the finals. And so this Tennessee baseball team, and again, not a huge college baseball guy, haven't really kept up with it other than I see the final scores, you know, Tennessee 47, the other team 13, or the other team 2. But I will say this, they're so good.
They're so good.
That not winning the champ, anything short of winning the NCAA championship at this point would be a disappointment. Going into the season, if you said, hey, they're going to get the number one seed, they're going to go to Omaha, they're going to get to that best 2 out of 3, and they're going to lose in Game 3 of the College World Series or whatever, you would say, that's a good season. But they're so good. Like Calipari's 2015 team that lost in the Final Four, or like the undefeated Patriots that lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants, they're so good that it doesn't mean a thing without the ring.
So Tennessee right now on, you know, consensus sports books, plus 250 odds to win it all.
Which is really good when there's 63 other teams.
Well, the next best odds, Oregon State at plus 900.
Yeah. See, that's
my
point.
I mean, the gap between Tennessee and the field is ridiculous. And
so Vanderbilt is the 2 seed in the second best teams region?
Yes.
Keep going.
Yes. But, I mean, Joe asked the question, Tennessee or the field. nine times out of ten, I'm going to say the field because that's your best odds.
Sure.
I'm taking Tennessee. That's just how good they are.
But you
I'm
know what that
you.
Means? Doesn't mean a thing without the ring, then.
I know. If they don't win it all, then I think that you're going to start getting the conversation of Tony Vitello can win in the regular season. Tony Vitello can get to Omaha, but Tony Vitello can't win a ring.
Well, that'll,
last year,
that'll be a Knoxville conversation.
Well, yes, a college baseball conversation.
The Nashville conversation.
We don't happen to have a lot of college baseball conversations, but in the college baseball world, that will be the question.
The Nashville conversation will be not about that because they won't be talking about that because it don't mean a thing without the ring. There comes a point in time where you are so good that it doesn't matter if you don't win the championship. There are times where you get close, but you don't win it, but it almost feels like you won it because no one expected you to get that far. That time, when I was a freshman in college, we lost by 39 to Connecticut in the Big East championship game. We lost by 22 in the national championship game, and I felt like we won the national championship because that Connecticut team was so good. There's just certain teams that are so good that if you don't win the championship, it's a heartbreaker. The UNLV Rebels in 91, it's just that way, and that's what Tennessee baseball is. Chad Withrow, Outkick 360. So yesterday we talked about Mike Vrabel and whether or not he was a good enough leader to overcome the team, and Chad tweeted you and said, 5 p.m. tomorrow. So I'll let him talk about it. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.